Thank you. Let us turn to God's Word, Joshua 23. And I want to focus this morning just on one verse from this chapter. Welcome everybody here. And thank you for coming to this unusual place for service. It's returning home for some of us because we remember having services here a few years ago. But for some of you, this is your first time in the South. So we thank God for Go Regional for opening up this place so that we can have the service here this morning. And today we are just going to have a very short service, just 1 hour long. So if you can bear with us, we will meet around the Word of God and then we will make our way home for the Chinese New Year celebrations. Let's just bow for a word of prayer and we'll ask God's help and His blessing upon us. Father, we thank Thee for Your goodness to us over the last years and months. We thank You even in this Chinese New Year season that we are reminded of God's faithfulness, how He has kept His promises to us as individuals, our families, and even our church family. And we give You all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. Bless us as we come around Thy Word. We want to honor Thy great name. We want to proclaim the greatness of God to all that are gathered in. Bless those who listen on the webcast. Bless those who are gathered here. May we all be nourished, edified, and built up in the most holy faith. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now turn to Joshua 23. Joshua 23. Those of you who have your Bibles, the words are on the screen. And we just want to focus on this chapter. Now just to give the context, these are the last words of Joshua before he departs from the nation in terms of his leadership. Now Joshua is an old man. He's probably older than anybody in this room. He is well over a century. He's close to 110 years of age. He has lived a long life. He has lived through many good days and many bad days, many easy days and very many hard days. He was born in Egypt in slavery. He grew up in the wilderness with Moses, 40 years, watching Moses lead this nation as the assistant to Moses. And then for the last 20 years of his life, he has been fighting wars with the nations of Israel, entering the promised land and conquering all the nations and cities of that land. And now he's an old man. He's lived life. And he wants to just leave some words of advice for the next generation before he departs the scene. And he gathers the whole nation together. And these are really his farewell words in these two chapters, 23 and 24. And he tells the nation of Israel that God has been very good to them. God has kept His promises to them. Now, from a human point of view, Joshua has a lot of things that he can boast in. He had gone from being a slave in Egypt, growing up in a very poor home, to become the great leader of this great nation of 4 million people. A nation that had nothing and now has its own land, its own inheritance, their own farms, their own houses. They suddenly become very rich from being very poor. And Joshua's lived through it all. Joshua has led them, along with Moses, through all that journey. He's had a first-hand knowledge. He's seen it right from the top to the bottom. He's seen the rebellions of those who went back to idolatry, those who complained and murmured many times in the wilderness. He has seen a whole generation of Jews cut off by God, those above 20 years and above. He's seen it all. Now he has interesting observations. And from a human point of view, Joshua has a lot to boast in, personally. He never really had any great defeats, great rebellions in his leadership of the nation. He's the man who had gone from being a slave to become president, prime minister, use whatever term you want, leader of his nation. He had gone from the assistant to Moses' successor. And now he has an inheritance in Mount Ephraim to retire to. And there'll be a lot for Joshua to reminisce. A lot of old people, when they get old, they like to talk about their achievements and their accomplishments, don't they? Maybe you'll hear a lot during Chinese New Year when you speak to your elderly relatives and they'll tell you how great they have been and all the successes. And it'll be very easy for Joshua to spend this last moments with Israel just to puff himself up, to talk a lot about how great he is. Maybe to try and persuade them to put a statue up for him or put his name on the side of a building to remember him by. But if you read this chapter very carefully and the subsequent chapter, you'll discover that Joshua talks very little about Joshua. In fact, the focus of Joshua's remarks is to direct the people upward to God. Because you see, Joshua has learned something in life. He's learned that when things go very well for you on the horizontal, when your pockets are full, when your belly is full, when your savings accounts are full, you tend to look horizontally instead of looking vertically to the one who has given the gifts. And we have this human tendency to focus on the gifts and not the giver of the gifts. Joshua is aware of this danger. Having come from Egypt, having lived 40 years in the wilderness, having seen what happens when people turn their backs on God, Joshua wants to warn Israel, be careful, be careful, as you enter this promised land, that you don't forget God. And he warns them, of course, to be careful of their own personal lives. And he sums it up in verse 6. He says, be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. He says it's not enough for you when you're now in the promised land to simply show respect for the Bible, to simply come to the tabernacle once a year during the Passover and pay your dues to God and give God a little bit of respect. He says that's not enough. It's not enough for you to even have a Bible in your home to respect the Bible. That's not enough. Notice the language he uses. He says in verse 6, be therefore very courageous to keep and what? To do. To do what God says. The secret, Joshua tells the nation, this new generation. Now remember, he and Caleb are the only two old people in the nation. Everybody else has died of his generation. As he looks down across 4 or 5 million people, he sees all these young faces, young families. And Joshua says to them, here's the secret to success. Don't just respect God. Don't just come once a week and tip your hat or at Christmas or Easter and give God a little bit of face and respect. He says the secret to success in life is to not only respect God, but to obey God. And he uses this metaphor. He says, ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. In other words, he says, even in the small things in life, don't disobey God. To the right hand or to the left. Don't say, well, at home I can disobey God, but at work I'll obey God. or in the tabernacle I'll obey God, but in the workplace I won't obey God. He says, no. Everything that God tells you to do in his word, don't depart from it. Don't deviate from it, to the right hand or to the left. And then he warns Israel what happens if they would turn away from God, and he warns that God will judge them. God will come after them. Of course, Joshua had witnessed this firsthand, because all of his contemporaries, indeed all of his siblings, all of his relatives who were the same age as Joshua, had all died in the wilderness, all punished by God. Hundreds of thousands of people were put to death by the angel of death. And Joshua is very well aware that God is a great God, and God is a loving God, and God is a gracious God, but he's also a holy God. He's a God who will deal with sin and come after sinners. God never allows his children to sin successfully. He'll allow you to sin, but then he'll come after you for it. Joshua was just telling them, listen, don't get too excited when you see the vineyards and the olive trees and the farms and the homes, and get so caught up in all of this that you start to live your life away from God. And just because you're no longer near me physically, it doesn't mean that you can just live any way you want. But having said all of those things, Joshua comes to verse 14. And this is just what I want to lay with you this morning, because this verse is so full of meaning, pregnant with meaning. And he says two great things in this verse, and these are just two simple thoughts that I want you to take home with you for Chinese New Year. Number one, he points out that life is fragile and finite for himself and for everyone. He says this, behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. What does he mean by that? He says, as you look at me up here on the stage, 110 years of age, everybody can see I'm an old man. In fact, I'm the oldest man in the nation. And as you look at me, it's a reminder to all of you that one day you'll be old like me. I was once young, just like you. I was once full of dreams and energy and vision, just like you are. But those days are gone. And Joshua says, I am on the edge of eternity now. There's less years ahead of me than behind me. I'm going the way of all the earth. And Joshua is just letting Israel know this common truth. All of us come into this world, but all of us must what? Leave this world. We've been reminded very vividly over this period of that fact, haven't we? Not far from here, just a little virus that nobody can see with the eye is causing panic all around the world. And even Singaporeans are starting to worry, aren't they, about the little virus. Just a few weeks ago, nobody had ever heard of it. Most of us hadn't even heard of Wuhan. And now everybody's talking about Wuhan and this virus. It'll not be long before everybody's putting the masks on, isn't that right? I never bother wasting my time with those things. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die. I don't think it's going to help me with a mask or washing my hands five times. But there's panic, isn't there? Because people who just a few weeks ago had great plans, dreams, what they were going to do over Chinese New Year, and what they were going to do after Chinese New Year, many of them were working on 5-year plans, 10-year plans, 20-year plans, and suddenly everything looks very unstable, doesn't it? Very uncertain. Because the great reality of life is We come into this world and we leave this world. And sometimes we leave faster than we assume. We're standing here today, or you're sitting, I'm standing. And just 3 weeks ago, 50 meters from this wall, two women came here on a Sunday morning to meet their friends. Came here with many plans for the next day and the next weeks, and never knew that that Sunday that they arrived here would be their last Sunday on earth. And in a place that you wouldn't expect to get into trouble, a place that seems very strange for a car accident to happen, they were taken out into eternity in just a moment of time. And wasn't there a little solemn moment in this place for a few weeks? But I noticed over the last few weeks, especially last week, that things are starting to lighten up again. People have forgotten, haven't they, of the fragility of life, how that life comes and life goes. And that's the first thought I want to leave with you over this Chinese New Year season. Not to depress you, but to make you think about life. One of the reasons we come to church on the Sunday morning is to remind ourselves that there's something beyond this life. To remind ourselves that there is eternity to come. To remind ourselves there is a purpose, a meaning in life, and we must respect that. And we must prepare for that. You know, one of the things I admire about the Singaporeans is that Singaporeans are very well prepared. Very well prepared. I come from a country where we're not very well prepared. And having lived here now for 16 years, I've spent a third of my life in Singapore. That's very depressing to say that. But having spent a third of my life here, I've had to become better at being prepared. And we're very prepared here. And before a child is even born, the relatives are saying, have you saved up for their education? Have you thought about what school they go to? Have you thought about their future? Have you thought about your retirement? Have you thought about health insurance? Life insurance? And we have this long list of things that the local people here spend a lot of time thinking about and preparing for. But there's one thing very few people prepare for, sadly, even Singaporeans, is to prepare to leave this life and go out into eternity. And that's something that's guaranteed. You may not live long enough to draw down your CPF. You may not live long enough to even go to university. But you will live long enough to go to eternity. That's guaranteed. And very few people are prepared to meet God. Old Amos, the Old Testament prophet, said this: prepare to meet thy God. Prepare. Take time. And I say this to you over this Chinese New Year season: take time to think about God. Yes, take time to prepare for your future on earth. If God gives you time, that's wise. Take time to plan your insurance and all of those things for your family. That's wise. It's not a sin. But don't forget to take time to think about God. Don't forget to take time to thank God for his goodness to you over the last 12 months. But then there's one other thing that Joshua says here in this chapter, in this particular verse, that's very helpful. He says to Israel in verse 14, I'm going the way of all the earth. I'm an old man. I'm on my way to eternity. Ye know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. God had said a lot of things to Israel when they were in Egypt. He promised them, I'm going to bring you out of Egypt. I'm going to bring you through the wilderness. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bring you into the promised land, the land of Canaan. I'm going to drive out your enemies. And I'm going to give you these farms and these houses and these businesses. And I'm going to do it for free. He also told them a number of other things. He told them that whole generation that rebelled against him wouldn't see the promised land, and not one of them saw the promised land. He told Moses, because he lost his temper and struck the rock, God said to Moses, you won't enter the promised land. Neither did Moses enter the promised land, leading the nation of Israel. God said to Joshua, I'll be with you, Joshua, and I will help you lead this nation through all the battles and help you to conquer the promised land. And God had kept his promise. Every single one. The good ones and the bad ones. The ones of blessing and the ones of judgment. God had kept them all. And now Joshua, he's 110 years of age. And he stands before this nation. And really what he's saying is the words of that old hymn. Great is thy faithfulness. That's what Joshua is saying. Before Mr. Chisholm, Thomas Obadiah Chisholm, wrote that hymn, Joshua was already singing it. Great is thy faithfulness. God keeps his promises. God doesn't lie. God doesn't bluff. You know, as parents, we bluff our children sometimes, don't we? We say, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. Or sometimes we make promises we intend to keep, but over time, we lose the ability to keep. Something else comes along and stops us keeping our promises. Even though we want to do it, we just can't do it. Because of an unexpected circumstance, an incident that prevents us. Well, God is not like that. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. It's not like us. Whatever God says, God does. Now that's very reassuring. Because that is true not just for Joshua, for Israel, but it's true for us. You know, one of the promises God made to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to King David, to the Old Testament prophets, he said, the Jewish people will never cease to exist throughout time. He promised that the Jewish people will be scattered in all the nations of the earth. But in the scattering of them, they would not be lost by intermarriage, by assimilation. And God says that one day, those people that are scattered throughout all the earth will be regathered back to the land of Israel. And most of us in this room who understand world history, we have lived through that time when after 2,000 years of scattering the Jewish people through all the earth, into every corner of the earth, I was surprised that there were Jewish people scattered into Indonesia. There's synagogues all over the different islands of Indonesia, Malaysia, Malacca, there's a synagogue in. Two in Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, Mexico, Argentina, Canada, USA, Europe, Russia. They have been truly India, Ethiopia, South Africa. The Jews have been scattered. And even to Wuhan in China, you'll find Jews scattered everywhere. And yet, here we are 2,000 years later. After they were scattered, what do we discover? They're still a distinct people, aren't they? They're still identifiable. And number two, they're back in their homeland. They're secure in their homeland. They're not at peace with their enemies, but they're there. And God has protected and preserved them. And every time you see a Jew Only 13 million of them on the earth today. 0.001% or something like that of the world's population. Every time you see one, what you should flash in your mind, what should flash in your mind is these words: God has kept his promises. God has kept his promises. God can be trusted. God is faithful. And Joshua wants Israel to learn that lesson this day. Don't think God is bluffing. Don't think God makes empty promises. Don't think God is joking. Now, of course, we often lose hope because of time. We say, God hasn't solved this. God hasn't kept this promise yet. Well, time is no complication with God. Just wait. Just be patient. God is never in a hurry. He's never late. And he's never early. He's always on time, according to his time. And over again in the Bible, we're told these words: wait on the Lord. Be patient. By nature, we are impatient, aren't we? The food that people love to eat today is what? Fast food. Why do they want fast food? Because nobody likes to wait. When I grew up in UK and you went to a restaurant, you had to wait for your food. But when I came to Singapore, nobody wants to wait. Isn't that right? They go to the coffee shop and they order chicken rice, and if they have to wait 2 minutes, they're upset. So long, so slow. Now. Everybody wants everything now. And we're living in a time where people want everything now. Well, God doesn't promise that he will keep his promises now. He promises he'll do it in his time and in his way. And you know, you have to say this to yourself, and with this I close. You have to acknowledge either you run the universe or he runs the universe. You have to make that the choice. You have to decide who's truly sovereign. Is God in control or are you in control? And if you think about it carefully, you'll be reminded that you and I control very, very little of our lives. We think we control a lot, but we don't. We don't even control the day we were born. We don't control the day we die, do we? The two big appointments. We have no control over where we will be born, what family we will be born into. We don't even control who we marry, because the woman or man you want to marry may not want to marry you. We have so little choice. And yet we think we're so powerful. We're so impressive. We're so in control. And God wants you and I to accept that today. I'm in control. I rule this world. And really the question this morning is this, as we close. It's not, can you trust God to be faithful and to take care of you? The real question is, will you trust God to be faithful and take care of you? It's very easy for you and I to sing, "Great is thy faithfulness." I'm sure you enjoyed singing that song earlier, didn't you? But it's very hard to live it. It's very hard to believe it in our day-to-day lives. "Great is thy faithfulness" is not just a nice tune or nice sentimental words to start Chinese New Year. These are words that get to the heart of our lives. God is in control. God is faithful. And God can be trusted to keep all of his promises. We don't know how long we have to live on this earth. This week has been a solemn reminder of that truth. But we do know this. Every night we put our head on the pillow. that if we don't wake up again on earth, those of us who are in Christ will wake up in the glory land. God is faithful to us here, and he will be faithful to us in eternity. He who has promised he has saved us has promised to keep us and watch over us. We sung those words earlier, didn't we? What an amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And in the middle of that hymn, it says, 'Twas grace that has kept me safe thus far. And then it says this, and grace will lead me home. God can be trusted to not only save us from our sins, but in grace to bring us all the way home to heaven. So as you leave here this Chinese New Year, even if you don't remember very much about this service, remember these words. God is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. Many years ago, where I grew up in Ireland, a young man was engaged to be married. Just before he got married, his wife was tragically drowned, or his wife-to-be was tragically drowned. Heartbroken. He got on a boat and he left Ireland and went off to Canada. Started a new life there. And after a few years in Canada, he met another young woman. And he got engaged to be married to her. And just before that wedding was due to happen, she was struck down with a virus like the Wuhan virus. Tragically, she died before the wedding. That man never remarried or never got married. Never got engaged to another woman. He spent the rest of his years in Canada going from house to house, telling others about the goodness of God, the kindness of God. If he could help anybody, he did it. If someone needed wood chopping, he would chop the wood to help the old folk. Try to be a blessing. One day, out of his great sorrow and loss and the goodness of God, he wrote these words, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear." Of course, he tells us, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything, what? To God in prayer." God is faithful. He discovered that truth, and you can discover that truth. We as a church have discovered that truth. In the midst of our need, God proved faithful to us. And he continues to prove himself faithful to us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word this morning. A word of encouragement to all of our hearts, that God can be trusted to keep his promises. We let ourselves down. We change our minds so often. We fail to honor what we say we will do. Sometimes, because of circumstances, we are unable to keep the promises we make. But we thank thee that we have a God who not only says he will do something, he always delivers. And this old man Joshua was able to stand up at 110 years of age and tell the people about his unfailing God, the God who is always faithful. Bless us now as we part one from the other and go our separate ways. May we know the blessing and the goodness and the love of God flowing through each and every life. We pray for those here in Go Regional that your blessing will be upon them for their kindness to us. For we ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.